Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, we have a fantastic show for you. Paul Dale Roberts from HPI Paranormal is with us, bringing an update to his latest investigative adventures.
Next on NightTalkRadio.com. Looking to email the show? TerrorJam2012@gmail.com or come to our blog, NightTalkRadio.com. Phone lines are open 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. This is Night Talk Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network with host Colin Knight.
Well, it's kind of an ominous opening. My God. Good evening, everybody. It's Saturday, July the 7th, 2012, on a balmy evening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, home of the Calgary Stampede, celebrating its 100 years of the greatest outdoor show on earth. Yahoo, my old mateys. This year, of course, the Stampede is from July the 6th to the 15th. It is a moment in time when everyone becomes cowpokes and cowgirls. And what happens in Calgary most certainly stays in Calgary. If you've not checked it out yet, you should. Search Calgary Stampede on Google. It does happen every year for the last 100 years. Big shout-outs to the BC Dreamcatcher. Hopefully you are well. And the Southeast Bricklayer's better half. Glad you find time to tune in. And last but not least, our Scottish lass. What can I say? What a great start to a new season, new studio, and my first guest of the season, Paul Dale Roberts, the James Bond of paranormal investigation. Paul, welcome back to Night Talk. How are you, sir?
Colin, it's so good to hear your voice again. I missed it.
Well, it has been a while.
It's been so long.
Yeah,
I know, it's been a while.
To be honest with you, Paul, we ran into some contractual obligations that we never anticipated, and it was easier to go dark for a while than it was to spend a glorious amount of money trying to get around it.
Wow. And you're really getting my stories up, too. So.
Oh, you betcha.
I really appreciate that.
No, when I see a PDR story coming in onto the blog, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, nighttalkradio.com. It'll take you to Night Talk's blog. And as soon as I see the stories come in, Paul, definitely they go straight up onto the board with as little alteration as possible. Now, I must admit, I am challenged sometimes with your embedding and your photos. Sometimes they're very challenging getting them to sit on the page the way they're supposed to. But other than that, it's my absolute pleasure. So, Paul, since the last time we chatted, has your workload in the paranormal increased?
Yeah, Colin, absolutely. The closer we get to December 21st, 2012, it seems like I'm getting investigations every weekend. And we're almost doing them back-to-back. In fact, right now, I'm actually at an investigation.
Wow.
So, and it's so crazy. We've been getting some really good ones. We had one over in Galt. And the guy had actually contacted somebody, a paranormal group called the KBC in Los Angeles.
Right.
And KBC contacted me, and they said, hey, you need to be talking to Paul Dale Roberts because he's up in your area. Mm-hmm. We're down in Los Angeles.
Well, that's kind of that's a nice handoff, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was very nice because the things that happened over there was mind-boggling. Talking to the guy, Richard Rivas, in fact, they're going to actually, they picked up the story, and they're going to place it on My Ghost Story, the biography channel, just because of all the evidence that we got over there.
Mm-hmm. So what is this about? Give us a brief synopsis of what's happening.
Okay, so Richard tells me, he says, three of the occupants in the house actually levitate from their beds, and one of them actually levitated all the way up to the ceiling. And I'm listening to Richard, I'm going, oh, this is crazy, you know.
Right.
It sounds unbelievable. But he says, okay, well, we have a lot of history here, Paul. He says, back in the 1800s, there was some settlers who had a skirmish with the Native American Indians. So there's blood on our property. There were people who actually died here. Also, two four former occupants of the house died. And at the front tree of the house, back in the 1800s, a man was murdered. He was killed by gunshot. And in a tree off in the field, way back in the field, a witch was hung.
So this is quite the area of paranormal activity, or at least the possibility thereof.
It was the Disneyland of paranormal activity. It was the mother of paranormal investigations. And the reason why, besides all that, the house was built in the 1800s. They dug up they ripped open the living room carpet and found a pentagram on the floor.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, Seth. So with all that stuff that's going on, and they see full body apparitions, they hear footsteps, they hear knockings on the walls, they hear people whispering in their ear.
So they get
pushed around.
Are there any historical documents in the library that kind of lean this house towards being some kind of a pagan or Wiccan den, if you will?
We haven't been able to find anything yet on it.
Okay.
So we're still researching on that part of it, but the land that they're actually on was land that settlers would actually pick their caravans and it was like a resting spot before they went to Sacramento.
Interesting. So they would also discard any people that had died along the trail.
That would be
one of the places that these bodies would be buried as Christianly or as heathenly as possible, I would think. If they can't carry them for long, they have no refrigeration. So a human body that dies on the trail is going to pong out pretty fast.
Right, and also too, you'll see clumps of eucalyptus trees. Eucalyptus trees were actually imported from Australia, and one of the things that they brought them over, the eucalyptus trees they brought them over here for, is the fact that they grow fast. They shelter you from wind. They would park their caravans there, and the leaves were used for different medicine purposes. So you see a clump of eucalyptus trees all throughout that whole area.
Huh.
But when we conducted our investigation over there, first off, we were just getting a lot of orb pictures. Okay, well, orbs could be anything, and so I was kind of disappointed because of all the stuff they were telling me. I said, okay, nothing's really happening. You know, I'm getting kind of disappointed.
Right.
Well, at the end of the night, I said, okay, let's do some quick and dirty EVPs, electronic voice phenomena.
Right.
And so I have 12 people in front of me, 12 witnesses, 3 recorders on. And I say something, and I get this mumbling back, blah, 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 blah. Well, I can't understand it. And but there's something there, and nobody made that mumbling noise.
Mm-hmm.
The second EVP, I said, okay, you're talking to me. Tell me who you are. What's your name? We pause, give it time to respond, and it says, Michael.
Sweet.
I said, okay. The next EVP we get, I said, okay, if you're here, oh, no, somebody else said this. They said, if you're here, give us some kind of sign, tap us on the shoulder. We play back the recorder, and the EVP says, no, you tap me on the shoulder. And you're talking about 12 witnesses, and we're all getting excited because these EVPs are one after another. Then, okay, we're at the tree where the man was murdered at. We said, okay, Michael, how did you die? Did you die by knife? Did you die by hanging? Did you die by gunshot? And when we got to the point where it says gunshot, he says, oh, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, and then the last EVP that we got, I said, okay, what are you doing right now, Michael? And we played back the recording, and he goes, I'm so cold. Yeah.
I wonder, why is it so difficult to make contact with the other side? What is it? Why is there a barrier there, do you think, Paul?
Well, energy is their food. They require energy to communicate with you. That's why we usually just get a few words. We don't, just like you and me, we're talking right now.
Right.
We're carrying on full on conversations. But with them, it's very difficult for them to do that. So whatever energy they can acquire, maybe they get the energy from us. They get an energy from a power pole that's sitting in front of the property.
Right.
So wherever they get that energy from, they're able to communicate a few words to us.
So why do you believe then? Why is it that when the communication happens, it takes so much energy? If the Creator had wanted us to communicate, would he have not made it easier, or have we just not found the key yet?
I believe that we just haven't found the key yet. Maybe they're able to communicate on their level and on their dimension. Maybe they're able to carry on full-on conversations. But to communicate from their dimension to our reality, it takes a lot more energy.
What a fantastic, fascinating thought. I tell you what, you hang in there. We're going to do a soft break, reload everything, and we'll be right back with Dale Roberts. Don't do anything I wouldn't do.
Opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the TerraChat Network or any TerraChat affiliates or sponsors. This is Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network with host Colin Knight. Comments and statements made by tonight's host or guests remain the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the TerraChat Network. Kavia Emtor. This is Night Talk Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network with host Colin Knight.
Now, I don't know if it's just me, but I've sensed a music theme behind what we're doing here tonight that feels and sounds a little ominous. So I just hope that people out there are not expecting something so ominous from you, Paul, that we need to back it up with some pretty heavy 2012-style music. But you are getting that increase of work as we get closer to 2012. Now, is this out of paranoia, or are you finding more genuine hits than you would have 3 years ago?
Colin, can you say the last part again?
Yes. What was it? You know, was your increase in business, do you think it's out of paranoia, or and even so, have you increased the amount of positive hits that you've had for Paranormal Activity?
Well, when I started doing the paranormal investigating, there was so many times where we would go to a place and we just didn't find any kind of activity. We would find natural explanations. We would find we would be able to debunk our investigation.
Right.
Oh, I'll do the other shot. Yeah, I'm over. So anyway, but now the investigations that are coming in, it seems like we're getting more and more paranormal hits where it's actually something of the paranormal. Even like in the gold thing, I took a picture in front of the house, and later on I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at a cowboy. There was no cowboy standing there, but he's got a cowboy hat on, and he's standing right in front of the property. And when I showed it to the occupants, they looked at it, and they go, yeah, we know who that is. And I go, okay, who is it? You know? And they said, well, he used to live there. I said, I didn't see him walk in. They said, well, he's dead. I go, wow, I got a full-body apparition.
Interesting. And you got that actually on film? It's there?
Yeah, it's actually on our website. It's at
www.hpiparanormal.net. www.hpiparanormal.net. And believe me, I'm definitely going to be checking you out later, Paul, because I love everything you guys do. HPI have been with me for quite a few seasons now, and we've always managed to break news or be on the cutting edge of something that's happening in the paranormal sense. And 2012, December the 21st, 2012, I think is a calendar event like no other that we've ever seen on Earth in our lifetimes, that's for sure. And what it means to us, whether the prophecies, the John Hope prophecies and Nostradamus are anywhere close to accurate, I guess we'll know by then. But in the meantime, you are seeing more activity in the paranormal realm, which kind of brings me up to an email that I received. And this one has been haunting me for a couple of weeks, Paul, and I should have passed it on to you, but I thought maybe I could handle it and understand it, but it kind of got away on me as a story. So here it is, breaking for the first time. I received an email from a scientist friend of mine in England, speaking of the human vibration. Apparently, we all vibrate at a certain frequency. Now, apparently, this human vibration has changed, and it's less harmonious with the rest of the universal's vibration, and it's causing anger, war, hate, problems. It's causing the Earth to heave and ho. Now, what do you think of something like that? Do you think that's possible?
It's very possible, and it seems like now we're getting closer to December 21st, 2012. I've been also talking to a lot of people who are witnessing skyquakes or hearing humming noises or buzzing noises. And sort of my theory on that is because when I did an investigation over Mount Shasta, they talked about the Lemurians that lived inside the Mount Shasta.
Okay.
That there's these underground caverns and everything else.
Yeah, I remember we had discussed this once before, I believe.
Right, right. And when you go into those caverns, you can hear machinery. And it sounds like sometimes humming noises.
Right.
Well, it seems like a lot of people now, there's like YouTube videos on it and stuff like that, where there's these sounds of skyquakes. And what I'm thinking, could it be that extraterrestrials are now revving up their vehicles, their flying vehicles, and preparing for that second coming when the extraterrestrials come and reveal themselves on December 21st, 2012.
So,
is that what the humming noises are?
Yeah. So are you a believer of the Anunnaki, the Anunnaki kind of Nephilim mentality? Are you a believer in that walk of life?
Well, it seems like everything, points to that direction, that all your ancient texts and everything else, it all points out to the fact that I just don't think that, okay, the Dagon tribe was, how did they know about Sirius B when you can't see it with the naked eye, but they knew that it existed?
Right.
If you took this into a court of law and it was a murder case, the murderer would be convicted because of the circumstantial evidence that is so strong that they have this knowledge of Sirius B. I mean, and then the the Mayans, they knew that there was going to be this alignment on December 21st with the Earth, the Sun, and the Dark Rift. And what is that Dark Rift? It's a black hole in the center of the galaxy. As scientists say, there is a black hole in the center of the galaxy. So, again, how did they obtain this knowledge? They had to get this knowledge from somewhere else.
So, do you think divine intervention or genuine extraterrestrials that are on a journey that maybe there are 1,000, 1,000,000 years ahead of us, but we're all on the same journey? Do you think that's possible?
The way I look at it is like Earth is like one huge testing ground. They don't directly interact with us. They might interact with the military because militaries are the first responders, let's say, to a UFO crash. So the extraterrestrials being somewhat like humans, if we have a war buddy in Iraq that was killed in Iraq, we don't want to bury him in Iraq. We want to bring his body back to the United States. It's the same thing. So if the military are first responders and they retrieve a UFO, and let's say they took some of the occupants of that UFO to the military base, the extraterrestrials go, hey, wait a minute. That's when they intervene and say, hey, you have some of our people. We want them back. So that's the only time of intervention I see that extraterrestrials do, maybe with our government. But as for normal civilians like us, citizens like us, no, absolutely not. They don't need to. They can do whatever they want. They travel throughout the whole universe. And for them, they most likely created us. According to the Sumerian Clay Council, it seems like they created us. They manipulated the DNA of possibly Cro-Magnon man and made Homo sapiens.
And that was around 50,000 BC, somewhere around there, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that the number they're talking about recently? And that's when the great pharaoh temples were first being conjured up, and the Mayans and the first Mayan excavations show that they are well past 20,000-30,000 BC. So there's these factions all over the world, Paul. So who knows what we were as ancient beings? Who knows what we were? We could have been more advanced than we are today.
And here's the funny thing, too, Colin, is, okay, at the beginning of the Mayan calendar, we know when the Mayan calendar ends, December 21st, 2012. And the Mayans, they're not saying it's the end of the world. They're saying it's the end of the fourth world and the beginning of the fifth world. So there's going to probably be some major changes. Those changes could be dire or they could be somewhat good. But also, too, in the beginning of the Mayan calendar, it seems like scientists went to the Arctic and they found that there was catastrophic changes to the Earth at the beginning of the Mayan calendar when the Mayans weren't even around. So again, how did they know that? How did they know at the beginning of the Mayan calendar was catastrophic changes on Earth, and now they're saying, you know, there's something that's going to happen on December 21st, 2012, and that's just around the corner. And Colin, that's going to be a very interesting day.
Well, I can tell you this, Paul. I will be on the air. I've already told my employer that I'm not available for work, regardless of what happened that day. I am persona non grata at work. And it's a big day. We're going to go 3 hours, and we're going to lap over the magic time of what is supposed to happen and to see just what happens. Hopefully, we'll be linking with our counterparts throughout Europe, so we'll be on a European feed as well as a North American feed, which is kind of nice, because even though we'll be live in the wee hours of the morning there, it is a time that will never come again in our lifetime. So if something happens, I'd rather be on the air than anywhere else. Well, there's only one other place that I'd like to be. And, well, I tell you what, why don't we take a break and and regather my wits before I say something that's going to get me completely all twixt and turned around. And when we come back, we'll talk about the future of HPI, where it's going, who it's going with, what's happening. And more about those ghosts and goblins that you've been chasing down. Now, this is going to be a hard break for those down the line, so you'll be able to reset your systems, I think.
This is what is called in the business as a hard break. We will be doing the station break for the next 4 minutes, so all stations down the line can break and cover their local responsibilities. Relax, stretch your legs, maybe refresh your glasses. We'll be right back. Comments and statements made by tonight's host or guests remain the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the Terror Jam Network. Have a question for our guest? 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Tonight's guest, Paul Dale Roberts, paranormal investigator extraordinaire. This is Night Talk Radio on the Terror Jam Radio Network. NightTalkRadio.com. Radio Network with host Colin Knight.
And we have the pleasure of having Paul Dale Roberts with us tonight and going through the HPI paranormal investigations that Paul has been on recently. Are you back with me yet, Paul?
Yes, I'm right here, Colin.
There you are. So, Paul, before we left for the hard break at the bottom of the hour, we were talking regarding the differences in the universes, I guess, between the paranormal world and the current world. Do you think this could possibly tie in, Paul, with the increase in your business? Do you think it could tie in with this claim that my scientist friend has made regarding that the human vibration frequency has changed? Do you think
yes,
something like this could there could be that kind of a change happening that the Mayans saw?
Yes, I think the veil's opening, the curtains are being drawn back, and our connection with what we consider as paranormal, we're getting closer to it, we're getting more connected to it. Some of the like cases that I have are very, very, very unique. I have one coming up in Rockland, and this is a very strange story. But when I interview them, I mean, they seem like very normal people.
Mm-hmm.
They were business people. One guy works at a computer firm, and very intelligent and everything else. But this is what they're claiming. The guy said that he was involved with working with the government at one point in time before he got into the computer business, and he was investigating allegations that this Native American Indian tribe was involved with children and using them for different type of slavery type of stuff, almost falling into the realm of what pedophiles do. And I said, what? You know, he goes, yeah, I'm very serious. We did an investigation on this and blah, blah, blah. And when that happened, these Native American Indians cursed his home. And they opened up a portal. And what they were describing that came through the portal were not ghosts, were not shadow people or anything like that. But what he was describing was the Minahuni, which are Hawaiian type of dwarfs or elves, and which have an extraterrestrial type connection. And in Hawaii, you hear about the Minahuni. They're these little mischievous little elves that that cause chaos for a family. They will cause discord in the family unit. And they've been harassed, scratched, pushed, held down in the bed by these little creatures. And the tale is so incredible, but the guy had a deadpan face, and he's telling me the story, and he says, Paul, I'm very serious. He goes, a portal actually happened. I go, but why would the Native American Indians summon up the Minahuni from Hawaii and brought him here to California to your home? I mean, wouldn't they have brought in some kind of entity that they're more familiar with that was on American soil? But he's claiming what he's describing is the Minahuni.
Maybe he had something to do with his ancestry or one of his fears. Maybe that kind of, that's why they something to relate to him. And I'm finding this throughout the world, Paul, is that the Irish, they have the Pixies and the Elves, you know, and all of this. And the Scots, they have their own little deities. And the Norse and north of Europe, you know, obviously Sinterklaas and the rest. And as we go through this, we see all of these miniature deities, if you will, that have special meaning. I mean, we still refer to Jack Frost. And that comes all the way from Wiccan and all the way from the Druid days. So, you know, we've intertwined our life with this mystical air of things, haven't we?
Mm-hmm. And, well, and also, too, if you're talking about elementals, we just did an investigation over at the Moss Distillery.
Right.
The Moss Distillery at Moss Beach, California, was the same distillery that Ghost Hunters went over to, Sci-Fi Channel's Ghost Hunters,
mm-hmm.
and they found out the whole place was lit. Well, they didn't conduct a paranormal investigation because they, after they found the first rigging, they said, well, the place is probably completely rigged, which it was, and they just called off the investigation and just put them on a new one.
Why was it rigged?
According to the owner, to enhance the experience for his patrons.
Ah, okay. So he claimed it was haunted right before he rigged it.
Right, right.
He was just kind of putting on the show.
Exactly.
Right.
And they have what is called the Blue Lady, who supposedly was murdered by her lover on the hillside next to the restaurant. Well, when we did our investigation there, they actually took out all the riggings. So we didn't find any EVP activity inside the restaurant, but on the outside, we did get an EVP. And here's the funny thing is, there's legends that there's sprites in the woods near the restaurant. And one of my investigators actually took some pictures of these strange light anomalies. They're not orbs, but they're orange, yellow, sprite type things. And he took all these little pictures, and then two of the investigators actually said that they were being followed by sprites. They actually saw this light anomaly come through the woods and was chasing them through the woods.
Well, let me throw something at you. My English scientist friend who talks about the human vibration also said that paranormal activity will occur in the least probable places only because the magnetic field of the earth has shifted. In other words, you may find Chinese ghosts in North America, or you may find, you know, the Zulu tribes.
Or the Minahuni.
Exactly.
In Rockland, California.
Exactly. And that's how he explained it to me. And it's like, are you kidding me? And it's perfectly understandable if you think of everything that is shifting. And if the humans are off the vibration and they're not as harmonious, then the universe is wobbling a little bit. So what is it doing to the human condition?
And also, too, the earth is filled with ley lines. And those ley lines is like a magnetic grid all throughout the whole world. And that's why a lot of UFO activities are seen around the ley lines. And a lot of your ancient monuments, like Stonehenge, are built on the ley lines.
Exactly.
And a lot of your towns that follow the ley lines have names that represent something extraterrestrial, like there's the town of Globe in England, which is on a ley line. And in that town, back in the old days, they used to see globe-like UFOs.
Wow.
Yeah, so in those ley lines, they go all the way from, let's say, England all the way into Sicily. And it's a straight line, and all the towns on that ley line have names that deal with extraterrestrial type activity.
Well, obviously the mechanics and the electronics of Mother Earth is way beyond our full comprehension. And the more we find out, only the more impressive does Mother Earth truly become. And if Mother Earth was created by somebody for human beings, as is claimed, then my good God, there has to be a God, because the engineering spectacular of everything that the Earth does and is absolutely impressive, even with the paranormal. You know, that maybe that the paranormal ties in with this increased activity, where at the end of days, the dead shall rise.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's where that came from. Maybe it isn't actually the body of the dead, but the spirit of the dead.
Mm.
You'd still be able to see them. It doesn't say anything about touching them or interacting. It just says that the dead shall rise. So I'm just wondering if that is the merging of the two realities, of the spirit world and the reality world. I just wonder if we've got kind of a merge going on there, Paul.
It's very possible. I mean, energy is a very incredible thing. I mean, you can't destroy energy, and energy is all around us. And I truly believe that there's energy entities out there. They don't need matter bodies. They contain all the intelligence right through their energy form.
Right.
And so you have elementals, you got shadow people, you know, even Bigfoot. That's why we can't capture a Bigfoot, because they go from their dimension into our reality. So they go into our reality, build a nest, eat some of our berries, and then they go back into their own dimension.
And I wonder which holodeck is real, theirs or ours, Paul.
Right.
I wonder which one is real. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in a minute 44. Don't go away.
Comments and statements made by tonight's host or guests remain the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the Terror Chat Network or any Terror Chat affiliates or sponsors. Terror Chat Radio Network with host Colin Max. Comments and statements made by tonight's host or guests remain the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the Terror Chat Network. Kavia Mentor. Radio Network with host Colin Nice.
Now, there's definitely a conspiracy. I listened to the breaks and bumps throughout the night, and that is pretty heavy music that's in the background there, Paul. I think they're painting us with a heavy brush.
What you're talking about there, I mean, it's just like right out of something out of the Matrix. But the only thing is, here's the funny thing, though, Colin. Anything that science fiction writers write about, I think it's encoded in our DNA. Science fiction is science fact. What we imagine, Star Trek, phasers, and teleporting, and everything else, has all become reality. And everything that we write in science fiction, and we think nothing of it, The Hobbit and stuff like that, is stuff that mankind back in the day actually experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And it's encoded in our DNA, and so we think that we're writing science fiction or we're making this stuff up, but all that stuff that we're writing down on paper actually did happen.
And maybe has happened in many realities.
Exactly.
Maybe it's already transpired or is about to transpire in another reality than what you're writing. And who are we to say it isn't? We don't have enough information, Paul. And as you go about your paranormal investigations, have you come across any very highly negatively charged spirits that are very either spiritually violent or threatening?
Well, I don't know if I told you. Did I tell you about Costa Rica?
No, you didn't. Well, we talked a little bit, but it was such a long time ago, so let's do it again.
Yeah, well, when I went to San Lucas Island, and San Lucas Island, it was that's where Ghost Hunters International went to. They did an investigation over there, and San Lucas Island was a notorious prison for Central America and South America. It was so notorious that there was stories of torture, stories of rape, stories of murder, stories of suicides. I mean, it was a place of dread. Just horrible, horrible things happened there. Well, I went with a small group of tourists, and I'm doing my thing in there and everything else. And I said, well, let me get away from the tourists and let me go by myself. Get a little bit provoking. And Colin, I swear, I got my hand up in the air right now, but I swear to you, I actually got punched in the ear. I got punched so hard, my ears were ringing. I haven't been punched that hard since high school, when I got into this high school fight with the big bully. I mean, my ears were ringing. I actually got punched right in the ear. And you're talking about very negative, negative energy there.
Right.
And powerful energy. So when I did the provoking, I said something that really ticked that entity off where it hit me.
Right.
So, yeah. And then I went to the sanatorium over in Costa Rica. And the sanatorium, again, rapes, torture, murder. It's just a horrible place. It was a place for criminally insane people or just regular insane people. And there, I was standing on the grass, and in Spanish, I got an EVP where it was a woman says, get off the grass, get off the grass, get off the grass.
Wow.
She told me three times in Spanish, clear as day, class A EVP.
Wow. Wow. Now, that this entity that hit you, did you see anything, feel anything else other than the physical impact, or are they only the effects of the impact? Did you feel the impact from him?
Yeah, I felt the impact. I didn't see him. He didn't touch me again. It was just one punch. One punch to the ear. Yeah, TKO.
Wow. So a big right-hander roundhouse or something like that. Old style of roundhouse. Sounds like you got a pretty good hit there. Now, when you come across spirits, are they usually confused or are they aware of where they are? Is there a sense of time and space for them?
Sure. Okay, some of the EVPs that we've got indicates where the entities are, how the entities are thinking. Like in one case, I said, why don't you want to go into the light? And we got this EVP says, I don't want to go into the light. And again, I was talking to her. I said, why don't you want to go into the light? I will be judged. So what if that entity was a very religious person when he was alive and he committed some sins,
right,
and he thinks that when he goes into the light, he's going to be judged?
So if he stays outside of the gates, he's going to stay alive with some kind of a life of spirit life, at least.
Right. Yeah. And another situation where we're talking to the entity, we said, are you able to leave the house? And he said, no. And we said, okay, why can't you leave the house? They won't let me. So when he said, they don't let me, what is he talking about? Is he talking about ghost police? Or is he talking about angels that maybe put an energy grid around the house so he can't leave the house because there's an energy grid that stops him?
Well, I am sure in the afterlife, Paul, there is an organization, there is a hierarchy, and there is some kind of governing body. There would have to be, because humans being who they are, with the amount of information that would be released to us in the afterlife, we would have to be watched pretty darn closely because there's some pretty bad apples that can get through, can sneak through. So, you know, So I would think that there is some kind of an organization in the afterlife, if there is indeed an afterlife. But do you find with the recent investigations, Paul, that there's been any common threads, any time frames, any particular frames of years or months or anything that you can latch onto as a parameter of these recent events?
Not really. When I talked to Lisa, the alien hybrid, she was just telling me basically stuff that I kind of already knew, where she was talking about it was the end of the fourth world, there would be some major changes. With those changes, some of them are dire because it will result in death. What else did she tell me? She said, we're not going to see anything spectacular till that day comes. So they're just kind of kicking back and waiting for that day, and they're preparing for that day to reveal themselves. And that's according to Lisa.
Wow. And I think that kind of ties into where I'm thinking here, as far as the end days and the prophecies and the Bible code and the Torah code and all of the Mayan information and the Druid and Saxon information that's in Europe and Stonehenge and the Georgia Guidestones, and you start putting all of these into a mix. And there's a thread of reality. There's a thread that runs all the way through it that is the same story from all of these gatherings. So how is that possible? How is that possible without it being the absolute truth?
Well, you know, there's a lot of, like, secret societies, Freemasons and Illuminati and the Rosicrucians. And even myself, I'm a Rosicrucian. So, but...
Does that mean you smoke pot? Oh, no, that's a Rastafarian, sorry.
No. But with all these secret societies, and they go all the way back to ancient days, and it seems like all these secret societies, they are very much aware of the fact that we have origins with extraterrestrials. And it seems like people who are up to the 33rd degree, mm-hmm. are the ones that contain that knowledge, that have that knowledge. People who go to the Bilderberg meetings, the people who go to the Bohemian Grove meetings, the people who are involved with the Trilateral Commission. Certain presidents seem like they have that knowledge. Eisenhower.
So are they dynastic presidents, or are they chosen merely because they happen to be president of the United States at the time when there's an opening? Are they destined, do you think? Are these a lineage appointments, or I'm not
lineage. I believe it's lineage, and the reason why is because it seems like certain presidents know stuff and certain presidents don't. Like George Bush, the Skull and Bones, a secret society. And also to George Bush Sr., he was the director of the CIA. If that was a man who would know something. He would know if we have connections. He knows what happened in Roswell. He knows maybe what's going on over Area 51. A president like Clinton, he doesn't know what's going on. I mean, even all his statements, he said to a little boy, he says, if they recovered bodies at Roswell, I didn't know about it, and I want to know, too. So certain presidents like Clinton, Carter,
right.
They didn't know what's going on, but the Bushes knew what was going on. I believe Eisenhower knew what was going on. I believe Truman knew what was going on.
So,
I believe Roosevelt knew what was going on.
So the NWO, the New World Order, Illuminati, Bilderbergs, whatever we want to call them, they are the ones that have... harnessed the spiritual power, or are they the ones that are more aware of the spiritual power than we are yet? They are more in tune with it because of their teachings, or where? I'm not quite sure where you were going with that, Paul.
Okay. I think they're very much in tune with it because they follow ancient writings. They have sources to ancient knowledge.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
I got on my Facebook today, I got a photograph that shocked me to the core. Now, I'm not Catholic, but it showed the Pope kissing the Quran.
Wow.
Caused me a great deal of concern. That's for another show, the BOCR. That's our political wing of Terror Chat. This one is for paranormal and alien and, you know, those kind of things. So, Paul, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here again. It's always enjoyable having you around. And I look forward to chats at another time. And we ran out of time. I had a million more questions. In 30 seconds, can you tell me how is a paranormal investigation paid for?
Or how they're paid for?
Yeah.
Well, every once in a while we'll have what is called scouting missions, and we open that to the public. And the public, they want to learn how to ghost hunt or UFO hunt and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So we'll open it to the public. We might make some money that way. Otherwise, everything's our own dime. We spend our own dime in gas and everything else to do these investigations.
So if somebody has a paranormal problem and they need help, they can give you a call or go on hpiparanormal.net for help, and you'll be able to pull out the Ghostbuster car and go help them?
Exactly, yeah, and it won't cost them a cent.
Lovely, lovely. And you have a very experienced team. I mean, we've talked about that a number of times. You're very fortunate in the California state to have such dynamic and thorough investigators. I've got to tell you that.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, we have so many specialists and all kinds of things. And we just don't do an investigation, but we do a cleansing. So I do a Catholic blessing, but then we have Native American cleansers. We've got a Voodoo cleanser, metaphysical cleanser. We got Native American Indian cleansers.
Right.
So we have any type of cleansing that you need, we have it.
Let's hope you never get into a cleansing war. You know, maybe you get a couple of spirits that don't like each other, you know, and you get into a scrap on the other side. That would be terrible. Paul, an absolute pleasure, sir. HPIParanormal.net to get a hold of Paul Dale Roberts.
Thank you so much, Colin. It's been a pleasure. We have a lot of history together. We're very much bonded.
We certainly are. I call you my brother, even though we've never met. Paul, it's an absolute pleasure, sir. You take care of yourself and don't do anything I wouldn't do. And remember, if you do, name it after yourself. Good night.
Hey there. Got a minute? We all have busy lives, and sometimes we forget the small things in life that make many people happy. We work hard and we earn a great deal of money, or we hope to, and we spend a great deal of money. And yet there are those in our world who have no money to spend. There are those in this world that are fighting for survival as we speak. Give a moment to think of those people. Do what you can as a good human being. Do what you can to help their world be a little brighter. Good night, and we'll catch you back here on the next edition. This has been a Terror Chat Network production. www.terrorchatnet.com